expose her in your broadcast. Find out where she's coming from. The paper, 6 million Floridians without power, 2,000 flights disrupted, $10 billion estimated damage. Hurricane Wilma, recovery begins. Listeners, another one. Where is all this coming from to create havoc on countries? The Security Council branch of the UN system that is never receiving any publicity at all whatsoever. They're in charge of peacekeeping operations and peace building. So, listeners, that's where you need to do your research. Death toll hits 2,000. Military leaders are urging a focus on positive milestones. This is Iraq after Saddam. I often wonder what kind of POWs are being created out of this. And maybe there aren't any POWs. But the bottom line is, there are many POWs left behind in Vietnam and Korea. 8,000 POWs were left behind in Korea, listeners. 8,000. Disclosed by many that they were used as guinea pigs. And that's just the problem, people. Here we had 85% of 5,000 POWs that were left behind in Vietnam. They might have come back under a secret returning program. All the Vietnamese considered our POWs as pearls, something of value, and they wanted reparations. Anyway, what about the POWs in this conflict in the Middle East? We're not hearing a word about it. Is that the case, that we do not have any POWs? I'm just a little fed up about all this. I'm just tired of it, listeners. I'm tired of the deception. I'm tired of the manipulation. And more people have to get on board to exposing all this. Do their research, connecting dots, vital. And I'm very sorry and apologetic because Agenda 21 is everywhere. In our face in 2005. The plan for the human race. For the 21st century. Speaking of Vietnam, you've got it in Vietnam full time, big time. Sustainable development. Environmental practices, eradication of poverty, key to sound development. This is coming from VNS. The Ministry of Planning and Investment has coordinated with the UNDP to organize a national conference on sustainable development. Participants talked about the conference with Thao Bio Kin Tet Vietnam, Vietnam Economic Times. Anyway, listeners, the beat goes on. We might talk with William today about the America First Party of Missouri. Wouldn't that be interesting? It's UN Celebration Week here at American Exposé. We'll be doing some more of that with William in the second hour. Stay tuned. We will continue with the broadcast for today. And welcome back to the broadcast. Here we have Green Biz, Sustainable Business. That's part of this new research that Dennis has put up for today. And we see from the Chicago Tribune, listeners, no power, no gas, no water, and for many, no help. Here we go again. South Floridians began to comprehend the long-term effects of Hurricane Wilma on Tuesday as it became increasingly clear that residents could spend the next few days, if not weeks, here we go again, waiting in lines for basic supplies, coveting working showers and toilets, and in many cases, kicking themselves for underestimating the damage a Category 2 storm could bring. I don't have any of the major networks monitoring at this point in time, or monitored. But once again, we're dealing with something that could have been steered out of harm's way. And this is according to quote-unquote various experts on the subject, and I use that very loosely, as we aren't tuned into how all this works. I don't know of anyone out there that's any more versed on this than anyone else, except the fact that the treaties were made in the 70s. Secretary of Defense Collins made the statements. And here we are in this mess of weather wars, weather modification, implementation of directions to further bankrupt our country. Of course, we've been in bankruptcy since 1933, and it hasn't stopped. Legal tender for all debts, public and private, on the money. But back to this Iraq and Saddam, it's quite distressing to think that right now we've hit 2,000. Are the statistics being maneuvered a little bit? Are there just 2,000 that have died in this mess in the Middle East? Or are there more that have died? They say the American military death toll in Iraq reached 2,000 on Tuesday, with the announcements of three more deaths, including an Army sergeant who died of wounds at a military hospital in Texas, and a Marine and a sailor killed last week in fighting west of Baghdad. It's just a sad commentary. The Communist Party USA is going to agree with what I'm saying here. That's the way they work. That's the way it is. You have the Hegelian dialectic being directed on us. So, a U.S. command spokesman described the grim statistics as an artificial mark, quote, an artificial mark on the wall, end quote, and urged news organizations to focus more on the accomplishments of the U.S. military mission in Iraq. The accomplishments of the coalition mission in Iraq, I correct him. It's the coalition, maybe led by this country, but it's under the guise of the UN system. And you can see this on our website. There's a whole section devoted to Iraq on the UN website. You spend time there, you'll see how this is done. And keep in mind, always, the Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF. There is the crux of the situation. We are maneuvered constantly to accept what the press tells us, and yet never told about the IMF and its control in America today. This is why Joan Vion makes her statements about being in a world government. So here we are with this Middle East mess. This article continues. For example, Iraqi officials announced Tuesday that voters had approved a new constitution in the October 15th referendum, laying the foundation for a constitutional democratic Iraqi government after decades of Saddam Hussein's tyranny, they say. Well, was he tyrannical? Was he tyrannical? And are the population of Iraq worse off now with Saddam being gone, or better off? I remember seeing speeches by Saddam Hussein back in the 80s and early 90s. He'd be speaking to the population. They'd all have their AK-47s. Even children were carrying weapons. Was it less of a crime-ridden city back then than it is now? Who knows? But the military continues to make its maneuvers over into Iraq. Humvees are being built. Federal Prisons Incorporated are retrofitting Humvees. And you can go to their website and find this out. Federal Prisons Incorporated, retrofitting Hummers, listeners. And this is the way it's going with America today. The fastest growing economic system in America is Federal Prisons Incorporated. So how do you change that? How do you make a difference in that direction? Where is it that we make a difference in this? Education, documentation, as we're being maneuvered and manipulated constantly to accept what the press tells us. So back to this death toll hits 2,000, and this is a shame. This is disgusting. Nevertheless, 2,000 mark was reached amid growing doubts among the American public about the war, launched in March 2003 to destroy Saddam's alleged weapons of mass destruction, and none were ever found, according to the news, whether he had them or not. Israel has weapons of mass destruction. We're going to attack Iran. We're going to move somewhere else. It's all under this UN system guise and IMF control of countries. Sovereignty was and still is reigning pretty well in the Middle East in various countries. Does Iraq have sovereignty? The UN is giving Iraq its sovereignty. The United Nations gives its sovereignty to countries with strings attached. And so there is the crux of the situation and the problem. You don't know what's going on in the Middle East. The major press is telling us what's going on. So here we are with the epitome of death at 2,000. It could be 20,000 for all we know, listeners. It could very well be 20,000 dead, and we wouldn't know. We would not have a clue. So I'm a little uptight about all this. I'm sick and tired of it. And once again, the Communist Party USA is the same way. Bring them home. But once you come under a tyrannical communist government, oh boy, then you find out what it's all about. The people of communist China found this out back in 1949. They said, let's give communism a chance. It can't be any worse than what we have with Chiang Kai-shek. As his administration was infiltrated, according to, I believe it was Ralph Epperson in his book, The Unseen Hand. And I believe Ralph Epperson also wrote that Vietnam was planned for at the end of the Second World War. So here we are with this Middle East mess, and it was predicted by the John Birch Society back in 1973 that eventually it'll go to the Middle East. I have a map from a group in Philadelphia, I believe. I'm not sure where it is right now. It's a very large map, suitable for framing, that describes how the U.S. has to be the dominant military in the world from the Second World War on in order to incorporate the New World Order. You had Secretary of Defense McNamara during the Second World War. You have Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld today, who was Secretary of Defense during the Gerald Ford administration. And from freemarketnews.com, dated October 21st, apparently, it says readers can be helpful, and one just wrote to inform us of a link that we have never imagined. Donald Rumsfeld, until he resigned and joined the Bush administration, was the chairman of something called Gilead, which just happened to make something called Tamiflu. Now, anyone who hasn't been on Mars for the last month or two knows that there were only two things that were going to stop the human version of bird flu. One was a bird flu vaccine, which probably would work better if you were a bird. And the other was something called Tamiflu. Tamiflu in such short supply that the hundreds of millions of orders have been pouring into Gilead. Probably won't be filled for another 12 months or so, but everyone has got to have it because somehow or another it became established that Tamiflu really worked. There you have it. There's a big connection to Donald Rumsfeld here. And, you know, people like Donald Rumsfeld need truth serum in public. Many government officials need truth serum. Senator Edward Kennedy, Arlen Specter, they need truth serum in public to expose what they know. That is exactly what needs to be done in America today. And Donald Rumsfeld is no different. They need to be injected with truth serum to regurgitate what they know, listeners, to the public. How is that ever going to happen? Anyway, Tamiflu apparently really worked. And apparently that was the party line. And that was for about a week until the word began trickling back to that maybe Tamiflu didn't work. In fact, the word on Tamiflu has always been positive at first and then eventually negative. We'll get back to this momentarily. Stay tuned for the commercials for the Free Enterprise Cause. I'll be right back. Huh? back to the broadcast. The word on Tamiflu has always been positive at first and then eventually negative. It's a kind of pattern, according to this information. They've even found corroboration of it here in the Democrats.com in what appears to be either a chat room or a news roundup as follows. Quote, Rummy, that's Rumsfeld, was CEO of Gilead Sciences until named to the Bush cabinet and, like Cheney, still has ties that bind to the old company. Now, and that's an end quote. And isn't it an amazing coincidence that the drug Tamiflu, patented by Gilead Sciences, is being pushed by the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases as the number one choice for flu, which, wonder of wonders, is sweeping through in one epidemic after another, according to this information. And once again, is there a vaccine to trust, listeners? I don't believe so. Anyway, this can be found on our website. It's very interesting. Tamiflu Gilead chair was Rummy, Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense during the Gerald Ford administration. And the reason I found that out was due to the lawsuit that William Pabst put together suing the federal government for the concentration camp programs in America in 1976. I have the complete total information on that lawsuit, all the paperwork. As President Ford was sued, Henry Kissinger was sued, and Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, was sued for the concentration camp program in America today. Amazing. We have Elizabeth Border with us. Elizabeth, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Chris. I'm very happy to be on, and I would like to talk about my books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, and Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails. And I thought, first of all, since I heard this very serious news on the program right at the end before you came on, and I heard your commentary, I wanted to ask you, were you not in Vietnam?
No, I was not in Vietnam. I injured my foot in a motorcycle race in the desert. I was able to get an attorney to get out, as I was number 12 to go to Vietnam.
Oh, boy.
So
But you and I were affected by it in many, many ways, I'm certain.
All of us were.
Yes, and I'm certain it is a cornerstone of what you're trying to do. And when I heard this appalling statement that perhaps these men are living over there yet, I thought about the dedication of my book. I really dedicated Patriots Warning 1 to three boys who came from the little town that I was in western Pennsylvania. And it was a little town, Chris, of about 400 people.
Uh-huh.
And out of that little town, there were three victims. The one victim, and of course I've changed their names, but the one victim was Jimmy Giles, and he was a twin. And he had been adopted by his parents. They had a handicapped daughter, and they were thrilled to get these two little twin boys. Of course, he was killed. The other one, whom I refer to as Paul Crayon Jr., was the son of my beloved elementary school teacher. And he made it through Vietnam, but he was one of the walking wounded, and he got on a bus in Washington, D.C. one day and took an overdose of pills, and that was it. And actually, the third military man that I dedicate the book to, and I call him Lieutenant Colonel David Schuyler, this was a horse of a different color. He died one of those mysterious military deaths that Al Cuppett, the retired military man, the action officer on the Joint Chiefs of Staff, talked about, that there had been 2,000 loyal men in the military in the last few years who died of mysterious heart attacks. So this young man was found really near Carlisle, Pennsylvania, though I disguise it as another place. And it was a very mysterious death, the way he was found. And in researching this, I found out from some of his relatives that he had had rather high-up knowledge. He had been working on terrorism in Germany, and he was at the head of the Cubans who were detained here. So I feel in my heart that this man, and I knew him as a boy in our local church. I had a youth group at that time I was working with, and he had these sparkling eyes and a mischievous grin, and I can always remember him. And interestingly, the caliber of person he was, he had a handicapped son, terribly handicapped with cerebral palsy. His first wife left him, and he took sole care, beautiful care of this boy. And the boy is now about 20 years old. His second wife is taking care of him. But I thought, in God's annals, he is watching and he's in final control. And I think we need to pull together as patriots and Americans and encourage each other. Maybe we won't win this battle right now or in the next 5 years. Maybe we'll only be planting seeds in some other people who will be teaching their children. Maybe freedom will be lost for a time. Maybe we'll have tyranny. I hope to God we won't. But whatever happens, you and I can know that we gave sacrificially. I know you mentioned you had formerly some skin cancer and some problems like that.
Yes, that was from too much sun.
And I had some problems, and, you know, God restored me so I could get into this fight. And I want to talk about what my book says about Vietnam.
Okay, very good. Look forward to that on the other side of the commercial pause. Listeners, for the Free Enterprise Cause, support the sponsors of the network. WWRB will move a little bit to 11915. That's 11915 on your shortwave dial. Stay with us. We will return. Listeners, I'm looking at an examination of U.S. policy toward POWs, MIAs. Elizabeth, are you familiar with this document?
No, I'm not.
It's from the Helms staff, Jesse Helms. It says here under the title of Identification of Remains, another problem in identification arises from the Vietnamese practice of warehousing remains of U.S. POWs for purposes of barter. In 1979, a former North Vietnamese government official, commonly referred to as the mortician, defected to the United States. The mortician testified before the United States Congress that he was personally responsible for preserving and storing in excess of 400 remains of American servicemen. The United States Defense Intelligence Agency uncharacteristically has publicly vouched for the mortician's credibility with regard to a statement that he cared for the U.S. remains. These remains were, or are, warehoused in Hanoi. To date, since the end of hostilities with North Vietnam, only 255 sets of remains of U.S. servicemen have been returned to the United States. It goes on, many of these remains have been recovered as a result of joint excavations of plane and helicopter crash sites by United States and Vietnamese government personnel. Sad commentary for our country.
Yes, it is. And the truth has to be getting out more and more to the mainstream people. I see a big sea change. And I think and I hope and I pray the elite may find those words of Schlesinger, Arthur Schlesinger, the historian, that it would be too great a price to pay in bloodshed for the New World Order to come in. I hope that they will begin to back off and bring things on gradually, that we can fight things like sustainable development. But I have to tell you that one of the reasons I got into this at all in writing these books was an incident of intimidation. I came from a little town. My parents were strong Republicans. We were completely bamboozled. We knew nothing about any of this. I knew nothing till the presidential election of 2000 when some gentleman in a restaurant handed me a copy of Washington's Visions. And the darn thing was too dim to read, so my husband said, I'll go on the web and get a better copy. Well, Chris, when he did, it said, here's the associated information, download quickly, and it was 50 pages on the Illuminati. Mm-hmm. So you can guess who sat up till 3 in the morning reading? Me.
Yes.
So in the morning, I said to my husband, well, you know, either these people are crazy, or you and I are going to have to change our view of history. Well, the latter happened. And then the next spring, in 2001, we happened upon an article about chemtrails. And I don't know whether I'll get time today to get into my second book. I hope I can, but if I don't, it's so important that people get these books because I accumulated a wonderful amount of varied information on the chemtrails. Many of the articles of Amy Worthington in the Idaho Observer, plus information from Clifford Carnicom on the mold factor, the mycoplasmic fungi spores, the barium, how terribly poisonous it is, the aluminum, all of this, the weather modification, there's just so much there. And these two books, the listeners can get. At this time, you get it by mail. I have a family who's selling them, and there's nothing to be fearful of. They're not connected with any government or anything. They're just a family. And they were friends of my relative, Al Cuppet, the military man. I am distantly related to him. So anyway, if you want the books, really they're only $13.50 each, so that's a pretty good bargain. The whole set is $27, and you write a check to PFI. P as in Paul, F as in Frank, I as in intelligence. Send it off to P.O. Box 181. That's P.O. Box 181, Kutztown, K-U-T-Z-T-O-W-N, it's all one word, Kutztown, Pennsylvania. And the zip code is 19530, 19530. And I'm hoping that perhaps in time RBN may carry my books. You'll be getting a sample, a gift copy, Chris, I hope.
Okay,
I've sent some to John, and so I hope that you will enjoy it because it is a story. It is my personal feelings as an individual, because I think we're all fighting for our individual rights. I'm not going to be a global citizen except under duress. And so I wrote my feelings when I discovered the chemtrails day after day above our house. Along with the documented information, I think this makes the books a lot more readable. So anyway, yeah. Getting back here to the Vietnam War, I wanted to mention that I also held up my father's life as a role model, and I think this is another reason these books will be strengthening to people. If something shuts down everywhere, I think you'll want to know what happened at the time of my father's death. He was a devout Christian, and I think you'll want to know some greatly encouraging things that happened. And actually, in my book, if I just read a little part here of the biographical, this was about my teacher's son, the one who took the pills, and a little bit more. Alive, yet not living, Mr. Cran's son returned home in the way that some others from the war returned. During the 1980s, one of these veterans would come, stand outdoors, and lament under the upstairs window of the house where the little boy on the tractor presently lived. Now, there I'm referring to the cover picture, which is very stunning, of my little brother and me on my dad's tractor with the beautiful western Pennsylvania hills, those Alleghenies behind us. We symbolize the love of the individual, the love of our republic on that picture. And we were only 40 air seconds away from Flight 93, Chris.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Really?
So, you know, anyway, getting back to this veteran who would lament underneath the window of the house where my brother lived. The boy, now an adult, would get up, dress, and go outside, comforting the man as best he could. Then in the middle of the night, he would drive him home. Blake Border's son was following in the footsteps of his father, who spent much of his life offering hope to the wounded human condition as Blake encountered it. And there was another veteran my father was trying to rescue. Even at the time of Blake Charles Border's death in 1991, he was trying to rescue Wayne, another Vietnam casualty, from a quicksand of drugs and paranoia. He gave the veteran a job working beside him in his field. There, as he had done with so many others, Blake could talk, counsel, and sometimes just listen intently. Wayne had a household of guns. Intimidated by this knowledge, the local police preferred not to antagonize him if and when misdemeanors occurred. A few days after Patriarchal Blake's death, Wayne was noticed standing forlornly beside the Border family barn. "It won't be the same. It won't be the same," he lamented. A few years later, Wayne was found dead beside his guns, a death probably caused by drugs or drugs and alcohol. And Chris, like you, I'm tired of all this. I'm fed up with this culture of death and with the sodomy at the high levels and the use of Boys Town and all this stuff that's been going on for decades in our top levels of our government. I'm really tired of it. And the thing that really pushed me into writing these books was I innocently ordered a book called The Medusa File by Colonel Craig Roberts, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. He really, really gets to the nitty-gritty of about the MIAs in this book. And I went to order some extra books. Plus, on the telephone, I was beginning to tell people all the time about the New World Order. So we had an intimidation incident right here by our home. And I detail that in my book. And I felt after that, along with seeing the chemtrails, I was growing to feel this is my duty to write. I always knew I would write something, but I thought it would be my poetry. And the Lord led me right into it in an unmistakable manner by a poetry book given to my elderly mother over 70 years before. And they were lines from Emerson. And this darn book fell right at me when I was dusting and praying whether to write. And the lines basically said, if you're called to do something, you can't whine and moan and wait for the echo of your voice, or your destiny is hell. And I thought, I'm not going to argue. So that's how I got into it. And my radio program began at a little local station. And the interesting thing is, October 17th, 2003, we signed the contract. And on the way home, I looked at my husband and I said, Lou Blanchard, do you realize what day this is? It was 2 years to the day of the intimidation incident with the helicopters right here in our driveway. They lingered for hours and they harassed us. So this is real, and we know that we were ordinary people. We were well respected in the community. I was a teacher for years. My husband is in education now. So we were very stable people, and we know that these things do happen. So I wrote the books, and I am on the radio, and I want to tell you that I will be a big RBN supporter, even if my program happens to be on at the same time RBN is. You know how people surf. They look for an individual program now and then if they're not as interested in one, and they go back and forth. So I will always be attributing the things that I hear that are really good to RBN. I'll be discussing RBN and complimenting it. And I would like to tell them when they can hear me now, it's 5.745.
Constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot...
You're bleeding over, John.
I guess something happened there. I'm on 5 point... I didn't know whether we went to the break.
Electronics store.
Are we still on, Chris?
We're on.
Alrighty. I'm on 5.745 in the evenings, Monday through Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Very competitive prices.
And so I have really enjoyed your program. The few programs I've heard... I thought the program with Boyd Graves was just a coup. That was so excellent. And I do have him in my book. I have some information on him.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, maybe you and I sometime could even talk a little more on the chemtrails. But,
well, that's vital.
I think so,
too. That's vital. I mean, the spraying that's been going on for as long as it has, and we've been seeing it in the skies, and they cover it up, doesn't make any sense to a common thinking person.
No, and the point is, the population reduction plan, how many people are getting very sick because it's in the water now, it's in the foods that we grow, and put that along with the genetically modified foods yet, it's very disgusting to me, and till my dying breath, I'm not going to live like a rat in a cage, are you?
No.
I don't think so.
No, you know, I'm lucky to be on a well where I live, but most people aren't, and then they've got to purchase their water now. And then when you purchase in a plastic bottle, it doesn't taste very good either.
No, that leaks through. Now, even in your well, I would think that the chemtrails are entering that water stream. Do you think not?
Well, it's more than likely probably going to happen if it hasn't already happened.
You probably want to get a water filter.
Well, I run everything through a filter.
That's good.
But, you know, whether it traps all the bad guys in the water or not, that's another story, you know.
We don't know.
Right.
And this barium, I was looking back at a little bit of information that I had here before, you know, I got on the air. There was a doctor, I believe, from India, and he was telling how terribly poisonous barium is. And we know they're using an immense amount of barium. So he said there was esophagus cancer and other types of cancer in the gastrointestinal tract. So that's one really bad thing. And then, of course, Clifford Carnicom, in a nutshell, has found that they're pretty much making... plasma frequency, so they can do all kinds of things. They can do the mind control with the elf types of things. They can bump us off the air. You know, there are lots of things they can do with this man-made frequency they have. But, you know, this isn't the type of country that you and I grew up in, thinking that America was for Americans.
Well, it's since the inception of the UN system officially in 1945, we haven't had a military we can call our own. Maybe they say publicly yes, but we do the UN peacekeeping operations, and that's what's happening right now. And during the Vietnam, it was Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon. Now it's George Bush. They're all part of a den of, what would I call them? What would be a proper word to call these individuals that occupy the White House during
tyranny?
Our lifetimes?
Tyranny?
Tyrannical individuals that follow the lockstep of the Federal Reserve System to do what they're told? This is the way it appears to me. Here, apparently, we've reached 2,000 in the death toll in Iraq. Well, is that really true? Could it be 20,000? You see,
yes.
This is the thing. We're not being told the truth about anything today, including the dumbing down of our children in schools, which I'm sure you're very versed on as well.
Oh, yes. And in my book, I have several chapters that go into that. The puppy seminar, how I myself was almost recruited, I believe. I've heard Dr. Dennis Cuddy say that he was part of something called the Governor's School in North Carolina, and they picked the people they thought they could, you know, change into New World Order minions. And in my little college, I was one of a select group who went on a, quote, government seminar. And we quickly hit Congress, but where do you think we went next? The UN. And spent quite a bit of time being brainwashed there. And I never realized that. Till now, when I wrote my book, I thought, my gosh, I was one of those. So this brainwashing is there. And also in the environmental chapter in my book, I talk about a program, I think it's called Sears, in western Pennsylvania. And this is really alarming, how they've taken the environmental movement. Instead of having your core subjects like math, English, science, they have it all under environment. And they said, this is really wonderful. The kids are motivated. And eventually, they said, these kids will be the ones on the local councils. Now, do you see how they're going to get these non-governmental organization people, these NGOs in the regions? They're really training these kids to love the environment.
And then I read in the paper that a major percentage of the fourth graders aren't even proficient enough to communicate. And here we are with this national, the NEA, and their directions. It's disgusting is what it is. We are the lowest or one of the lowest in the world of the educated and the young people.
Especially in math, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They say that our reading isn't so bad now. But you know what? I find that in the NEA, there's a mixture yet of some good people who haven't quite waked up. I think every one of your listeners, by the way, RBN listeners, should start jotting down on a little index card some of the people they really like to hear, like you, like John, maybe like Sting, whoever they really are getting the truth from. Start passing this out to people. Really start to break through to where more people buy shortwave radios. I think this is just so crucial. Anything you can think about, you know, to facilitate this, to try to get more mainstream people listening, I think it's just so important.
Well, that's vital. And I said a month and a half ago, everyone needs to find one more listener that is listening.
Bravo.
And I don't know how the statistics are on the Internet at this point in time, but maybe we'll find out. We'll be back with you, Elizabeth. This is Elizabeth Border, listeners. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
There's a book out called Kiss the Boys Goodbye.
Oh, boy.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Is America going to be like the 1960s where instead of Vietnam era troops coming back and getting spat upon, do you think there will be a time, Elizabeth, when Iraqi era troops will come home and the pinkos in the street will spit on them and call them all kinds of vile names because of what's going on in the news? And by the way, Al Cupp.
I hope not.
And by the way, Al Cupp is one of my heroes too. So I read his book, America Sold Out. Very good book.
Yes, it is. The same family that sells my book sells that book also. And I think that book is very crucial for people to have, especially Christians, because it does detail some very awful plans that the Satanists have for Christians if the New World Order comes in completely. And I think it's very, very crucial that they find out about some information perhaps pertaining to concentration camps and other things. Don't you, Jeff?
Oh, yes. And one of the strong points of the Al Kuppert book is the fact that Al Kuppert talks about Jewish people, you know, sharing the same fate as born-again Christians in these camps, which really strikes the parallel between America and Nazi Germany, because I went to the Holocaust Museum two times, and it was a very shocking place to go to.
Yes, Jeff, I want to bring up my book again, because I have a big chapter in book one that compares the demonization of those Jews in pre-Nazi Germany to what's happening right now to Christians here in the media and in other places. And one example that I gave was from Newsweek, in which Lorraine Alley was writing about the rockers down in the mosh pit and so forth. And you know how kids are, teenagers,
yeah,
really get into all that stuff. But what she did as a writer, what Newsweek did rather, was to contrast how oddball the Christians were there, that they were stiffer than the normal teenagers, and they didn't know how to do this. And I thought, even there, you see this beginning to vilify them. And another thing that I think is very important, many people don't know that there's a very deep theological reason for this hatred of both the Jews and the Christians, and this appears to be satanic. If you go back into the writings of Madame Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, all of that coming up through Lucifer Trust, all of that theosophy, they clearly said, and they got information channeled. Some of them were channeling from the Tibetan. So their information was that two groups of people would have to be destroyed when the New World Order paradigm gets into being, because these were not progressive enough, and you can guess which they were. They were Christians who believed in the Bible and Jews who believed in their Bible. So I think that the longer we go, the more everything stays the same.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. And simple closure, Adolf Hitler killed off the World War I soldiers that were paralyzed and disabled because they didn't fit into the new order. So what can I say? History always repeats itself.
And, Jeff, do we want a country that has no humanity left, that has nothing but evil, reprobate mind? I mean, when it comes to that point, I choose the way of my late father, and some people may have heard me tell this, but it was true. My father was a rural mail carrier, and he was asked by a World War I veteran who had lost a leg to give him a ride. And my father knew that his little federal job could be ended if he gave a passenger a ride. But of course he said yes, because he followed God's law. And, Jeff, he was reported. But my father did not lose his job. He went on for 40 years because he was under protection. And I think that's what we have to remember. We might be a small group of people listening to RBN and other networks like this that tell the truth, but we are a group that has God behind us if we're sincere. So we have some protection if it's His will and plan, and we must never stop opposing these hideous things. What you're saying there, now just think of the morality of that. To destroy the handicapped veterans who had given their service to the country, that brings it right back to what you asked me. Will these present Iraq veterans be spat upon? I hope and pray they won't be, Jeff.
And I hope not either. And the saddest closure in Nazi Germany was the apostate Lutheran Church, as Jewish people were going to the camps, and the preacher told them, sing a little louder. And when the people came out of the church, they wiped the dust off their car, didn't make waves, had a full belly, and were completely satisfied. And that's a sad commentary. Guys, do have a very nice day, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your call. Let's see here. We have John in New York. Let's take John in New York real briefly. Hello, John.
How you doing? Thanks for taking me. I'm just looking at a nuke alert put out by the, I'm sorry, I can't tell you right at the moment. Anyhow, just on a listing of it, they got the 518,000 Gulf War veterans are under disability when only 7,039 were injured in battle. And 67 of the post-war Missouri Gulf War vet babies are being born severe birth defects,
yeah,
from the DU. that 67% of our children, which is, you know, you talk about a gulag, that gulag is right at home on our backs, in our soul. It also states that 50% and 65% of the fish catch in the Pacific and North Atlantic are down that far. We're just killing this country, or killing this world by letting it happen. And again, it's just like you state, we've got to act. There's no more just being passive and being looking back, and we have to take action. We have to make truth be truth.
Absolutely. And as we go to commercial pause, we'll...
if you could also repeat Elizabeth's last name again so I can mail it.
Border.
Border.
Border, B-O-R-D-E-R.
That is right.
Thank you very much.
And let's have a little conversation after, as the commercial pause happens with Elizabeth, and see where we're going to go with Robert and William. Stay with us.